Today, I'm joined by members of the Albany Birth Justice Storytelling Project based at the University of Albany. Thank you guys for speaking with me today about the project.
Hi, how are you?
I'm Nikia. I'm sorry.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for inviting us, yes.
Could you each introduce yourselves and your role in the project?
Hi, so I'm Kia Tillman, and I am the co-chair of BirthNet, one of the co-chairs of BirthNet, and I helped, sat with these wonderful ladies and just kind of listened to their process and gave support wherever I could.
I am Destiny. I am currently UAlbany MSW student, and I am one of the moms that were interviewed for the project.
My name is Chloe. I am a SUNY Albany alumnus. I was the listener who got to listen to Destiny's story.
Great. And I'm Rajni Bhatia. I'm associate professor in women's gender and sexuality studies. And I was also one of the coordinators along with Nikia.
Could one of you describe what the project is?
I'll just briefly say that the project is a community-based participatory action research project in which we involved a team of co-researchers. They were members of the community of Albany, all storytellers from Albany County, as well as a team of mainly undergraduate students, but one graduate student and one alumna, who is Chloe. It started in the spring of 2019 when we interviewed students to be a part of the project and made selections. And then over the summer, we started doing some background reading. The students did an autobiographical photo voice narrative. So the story's methods are based on two innovative feminist approaches to research, which include transformative storytelling and also photo voice. Those were methods that we did a little bit of training in through the fall semester, and that was also when we started making connections to members of the community.
So could one of you tell me more about those research methods? What is photo voice and what is transformative storytelling?
The photo voice narrative is a narrative form where the storyteller is telling a story, and then you have like the pictures going on top of the audio as a way to help connect the story and the images together so that the audience can get a better picture of what was going on. I think that for our project, that was a really good narrative style because it allowed people to like see what was going on and like hear the story without being like talked at or like lectured. And transformative storytelling, I think, is one of the ways that the storyteller is able to have like autonomy over their own stories. I think a lot of times like stories of people are like lost in the way that it's being told. And so the transformative storytelling allows for the person whose story it is to have like full control over how the story is told and still allow the listeners or the readers to be immersed in the stories.
That's great. Great. And I would just add that like ours was an adaptation of photo voice. So there are many different ways in which photo voice is used. In some cases, community researchers like have like take cameras into the community and take photographs and then sort of collectively interpret those images in connection to like their experiences in their daily lives. In our case, a lot of the photographs were contributed by the storytellers themselves. So it were, you know, there were many times the sort of regular photographs people take around the time that their children are born. And I think there's an interesting contrast when you look at those narratives between these, you know, sort of these images that sort of tell the story of, oh yes, a very happy, like a child was born and, you know, there's happiness in that, of course, but there's always the traumatic parts of what one goes through in that process are kind of covered up. And that's kind of what you're hearing as you're listening to, as you're watching those images. And I think that contrast is really makes for a very strong experience.
How did the project get started and what was the original goal of the project? Maybe Rajani or Nakia could answer that one.
Emily Cooper did an internship. She did her internship with BirthNet. That she had the creative initiative to try out a couple of these stories. And one of them was with Nakia. So Nakia can tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Emily Cooper, she was amazing because her goal for the project was to center Black and Brown women due to the fact that, you know, we are, you know, we experience racism and traumatic incidences in hospitals and, you know, before birth, during birth, and even sometimes after birth. So she wanted to have me tell my story of, you know, my experience, and then just to kind of sit back and let me tell my story, not be the control of the story. She thought that was very important. So, and it was amazing. And what was revealing to her was that, you know, though I experienced, you know, racism when I was 17 to have my first one, I also experienced a level of racism at 37 having my baby. And, you know, so, you know, over that, you know, almost 20 years of evolution of, you know, of this world, the fact that we're still dealing with it and our stories of, you know, Black women saying, you know, listen, we're still going through this. It hasn't changed. It's not, you know, and until we all as women, you know, get involved and lift each other up, it's not gonna change. And so she allowed me to tell my story, both stories actually, and just kind of make it and show also that, you know, these aren't isolated incidences. You know, if you can say, you know, pick one or two things, you know, you can kind of brush it off. But she was also trying to explain that these stories are happening to women who don't even know each other. They're not even in the same state. So these are continuous stories that are continuing to happen. And we need to get these stories out, you know, to let the world know that, listen, this is still going on. You know, women, Black and Brown women during childbirth, you know, they're struggling. And how do we start to deal with this situation? Because it's not going anywhere. And so it's even like uplifting for me because, you know, when you're going through something, you deal with it and then you move on. But when you tell your story, you're like, oh my God, that did happen. So, you know, and it kind of gets you going because, you know, even with my work through BirthNet, which is, I thought was cool because their whole goal and mission is to get into the hospital, the system, to kind of attack the structure of racism when dealing with Black and Brown women in these places. So telling my story kind of fit right in with the mission of what they're doing to, again, center Black and Brown women, tell their stories and get into these hospitals, which, you know, it's one of the places where I think people don't realize is where structural racism happens a lot. It happens, and, you know, you think you go into the hospital as a place of care, and a lot of times we go in there with people thinking that, you know, as long as we're getting some kind of care, we should just shut up and kind of like be appreciative of it. And it's like care versus quality care, you know what I mean? So, and that's a lot of times we receive just care, you know what I mean? So all of the stories that I was able to listen to with the other young women that were doing the stories and doing the videos, you know, we just sat there and was like, yeah, you know, we've all experienced some level of racism and trauma during our pregnancy. So I thought, you know, Rajni and the young women they just did an amazing, amazing, amazing job. So I thank you. I never got a chance to thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for like getting this whole thing started. I mean, this is an incredible team.
Destiny, maybe you could also share, how did you feel telling your story and meeting these other women who had similar experiences to you?
I also thought I was the only one. I was like, maybe it's because I had my son when I was 21 in Brooklyn. And I thought I was like, maybe it's just like, kind of got to accept it and shove it off. It's like, kind of what the standard was. Like, I didn't hear any of my family members complain about it. It was kind of like, you kind of got to roll with it. So hearing everybody else's story is like, oh, so this is an actual problem. Like, this is like, not just like, because I was young, and it was not because of the hospital I was in. It was not because, I don't know, not because of these little tiny factors that I thought it was, not because of my income, or not, it's literally because I'm a Black mother. And it was like, this is an actual problem. Hearing all these mother stories, I'm like, yeah, this is not something that I'm comfortable with anymore. And it kind of turned me away. My story and other mother story, like from, it almost discouraged me from having another child, almost. But it's like, you kind of started to question like why the medical system is kind of against you. Over something I can't even control myself. So like those were one of the things kind of felt like a community now, even though it was a community of like a traumatic bonding, it was a bonding nevertheless. And it kind of felt like, all right, maybe I have somebody to talk to about this, and maybe I can find some other resources or some other places where I can, you know, express my concern without feeling I have to be muted.
Chloe, how did it feel listening to Destiny's story and participating in the project?
I had a relationship with Destiny before the project.
Yes.
And sister. I had a relationship with Destiny before the project, and I knew Destiny during her pregnancy. I knew Destiny right after she had her son, and I had always been kind of aware of the health disparities, the racial disparities, in childbirth, the maternal mortality crisis. But in my mind, it was one of those things where I was like, well, you know, it couldn't happen to anybody that I know, or it hasn't happened to anybody that I know. And then when I interviewed Destiny for the story, I mean, obviously, Destiny is somebody I look up to. You know, she's my big sister. She's somebody that I admire. But I had a newfound respect for her because I was just like, I cannot believe you went through this. Like, it was appalling to know that this was such a common experience, that it did happen to somebody I know and somebody that I was close to. It was very eye-opening, and it made me realize, like, we have so much work to do as a community to, you know, ensure the health and well-being of Black and brown birthing people in our community. Like, there's just, I don't know, it was eye-opening. And it's unfortunate that this happened to somebody I know, but again, this is the inspiration that I think that I needed to move forward in my purpose and making sure that Black and brown people are protected, like in the medical industry, and protected from medicalized racism and, you know, the horrors of the just medicalized racism in general.
Chloe, like right after she had done this, and Destiny, after you had met, I guess, and recorded the story, Chloe was just like, I have so much to say.
I want to fight. I was like, I want the name of everybody in the hospital. I want to fight. Somebody has to. I cannot believe this. Oh, I was so mad. I remember being at Destiny's house because we recorded in two sessions. The first session, I went to her house and I like asked about the story, and I had her give me like a brief synopsis of what happened. And I was sitting in her house like, the listeners can't see, but my mouth is agape. I was like, oh my gosh. And then we did a second recording more thoroughly. And then when I was like editing over the story, and I had to cut my story down because, you know, the project only has the capacity for like the stories to be so long. And I had to cut the story down by a few minutes. And I was like, I don't want to omit any parts of the story because I think they're all so important. Like, they're all so relevant to talk about, like, the serious injustices that Black birthing people are facing right in our backyards, right in our homes. Just terrible.